In this episode, we're uncovering the secrets to building a strong bonus family and co-parenting like a pro. Stay tuned to learn how to communicate effectively after separation.
Welcome to Women Winning Divorce, the podcast helping successful women navigate divorce with dignity so you can protect yourself, your children, and your assets. I'm Heather Quick, founding attorney at Florida Women's Law Group, where women win at life.
This week, we had Dr. Jan Blackstone on the show, and we had a great conversation about what a bonus family is, how to co-parent effectively, and communicating with your co-parent. I hope this episode is valuable to anyone who might be listening. Stay tuned for the full episode. Welcome to this week's episode of Women Winning Divorce. I'm Heather Quick, owner and attorney at Florida Women's Law Group. Today, Dr. Jan Blackstone is joining us. She is a child custody and co-parenting expert, author of multiple books on divorce and step-family mediation, and is the founder of Bonus Families, a nonprofit promoting peaceful co-parenting. Today, Dr. Blackstone and I will be discussing building strong bonus families, co-parenting strategies, and effective communication after separation. Welcome, Dr. Jan.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm very much looking forward to our conversation today. But first, for our listeners, would you share a little bit about yourself and how you came to be this co-parenting bonus family?
Well, I started out doing this before I had any of the credentials to do it, to be honest with you. If you're in a bonus family or you're a step family or living with somebody with children and you have children, in order to do it right, it becomes all-encompassing. You have to reach across the line in the sand and befriend people that you would never think you were going to ever have to befriend, like an ex-wife or an ex-husband. And it was just a tough thing. And it got to the point where my husband at the time's ex-wife and I forged a friendship because we had week on, week off. Her kids lived with me for a week at a time, and I had biological children as well. And it took a while. I'd be lying if I said the first couple years were just so great. We didn't like each other at all. But it got to the point where we saw what we were doing to the kids and changed our whole philosophy of life. Decided to reach across the line in the sand, and that's what happened. And then we started a nonprofit, and it kind of blossomed from there, because in 1999, that's how long ago it was, I built a website to talk to other women, because people would always ask me, how do you guys do this? And it just blossomed from there. The term bonus took off, and we did the nonprofit, and I went back to school and got all the appropriate, alphabets.
Right, so, absolutely. Now, in the foreword of your book, it reads, "One thing is true. You and your co-parent love and value your children. Starting with this fundamental foundation, you can now make choices about how to engage with each other and how to add new people to your family. People who will offer their own strengths and perspectives to enrich your children's lives." And that's very profound.
Yeah, I'm profound.
Well,
you want to know the reality? Can I say people that break up, people are going to break up, they're going to get involved with somebody else, and that new person's going to live with your children. And hopefully, and I know that a lot of people don't think their ex has any sense at all, but hopefully your co-parent has enough sense to get involved with somebody who loves your kids, or at least cares for your children, and along with your co-parent puts your children first. And their children first. Mm-hmm. And they bring a lot to the table.
Right.
And that's really the premise.
And I think, and it does start with, the individuals, the grown-ups in the whole situation, continuing to be a grown-up and really thinking of their children. First, right? I was, as I'm reading your bio and how you started this, and that the evil step-parents, I had a few of those. I got to tell you, there was no bonus sweetness in our relationships back in the 70s and 80s. Like, it was bad. I had evil stepmom and evil stepfather. And there was no consideration. I did. And so, I think this idea, it's smart. It makes a lot of sense. And I just think people, I think it's wonderful because we've got, if you're going to engage and bring other people in, you can't turn a blind eye or allow this new person in your life to treat your ex terribly or your kids. Like, why, how does that help your children and then your life?
Yeah, and you probably, family law is your specialty. I mean, you probably see it all day, every day. And what the thing is I find that it's all, co-parenting is all education. People say, oh, we're going to therapy. I go, no, you're going to class. Because it's all, and then what I wanted to ask you is, do you think the evil stepmother and evil stepfather knew better? Do you think that somebody told them? Because that's what happened with me and my husband's ex-wife. We just realized there was nobody to say, what the heck are you guys doing? People break up like they're in high school, even though they're 30, 40, 50, 60. They all act the same.
Probably not. They probably, that was, they were just operating with the tools that they had.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. They didn't have somebody telling them, you know what? You're really affecting the children. In the 70s, they didn't get it. I mean, we did it in the, I married my ex-husband in 1989. His children were 3 and 7 and mine was 6. And at that point, that was just the beginning of joint custody. Nobody was doing week on, week off. Nobody knew how to do it. There were all these books out there, but the books were just philosophic baloney. They weren't, this is what really happens. And this is how you deal with it. And that's what I think the difference in my take was, is I lived it. You know, it's like going to a therapist, a marriage and family, this is not going to go well. If I say that. But I always think to myself, if you haven't been divorced, how can you give somebody advice about staying together? It's, you know, okay, in my particular case, step did not define my family. The wicked stepmother, I was not a wicked stepmother. I adored my stepchildren. I even liked their mother at the time, by the time we got there. It just was not significant. And so one time and I tell this story all the time, my bonus daughter told her mom, when I introduced Jannie as my stepmom, everybody thinks I don't like her because the whole stepmom concept, this is 1993. And so her mom and I said, okay, let's figure this out. Let's get a new name. And we were watching her run back and forth, watching Melanie run back and forth in gym class. She's playing basketball. And we're sitting in the bleachers together and people are going, what the heck are you guys doing? You know, and we're thinking, how about the new whitening, brightening formula of mom? You know, and we just kept joking around. And bonus came up and I went home and looked at it and I realized that you can't be a blended mom. You can't be a blended dad. You can only be a blended family, but you can be a bonus family, a bonus mom, a bonus dad, a bonus sister, a bonus brother. It's an adjective and a noun and a verb and a, so that's the reason. It's a reward for a job well done. You get a bonus when you reach quota. Yeah. So that's
the promise. Then compared to a blended family, because so what is that like, so that we got the term?
Well, the other thing about blended is one of the biggest components to make a bonus family work or a step family work is acceptance of each person's individuality, seeing the history, understanding their trauma, understanding their positives, their negatives, what they like, what they dislike, and celebrating that, each individual person, and not trying to put them in a blended, homogenized kind of version of family, because then they don't want to be a member of it. You don't see me. What am I even here for? But I like soccer and your kid likes baseball and you paint and you know, it's you've got to accept everybody and then they want to be a member. Mm-hmm. That's the premise behind bonus and blending families.
Now you said when you married, your husband, but you also had a daughter. So were you?
And then we had one too. I'm divorced from him now. But we've been for 23 years. We had one child together. He had two when we entered the marriage, and I had one.
And now, so were you already introduced into or good at that effective co-parenting with your first daughter's father?
No, we didn't know better. Okay. I got a divorce from him in the 80s. So we didn't know better. We thought when you break up, you don't talk. He didn't even, and this, I think I even put this in the intro. He didn't even know we had joint physical custody. He thought because I had sole physical custody, he thought I had sole custody. So he never asked for anything extra, vacations, anything like that, because he thought I'd say no. Wow. And it wasn't until I realized how to make it work with my bonus family that I reached back out to him and said, what the heck are we doing?
Right. You know, And did it get better once you kind of learned and knew better?
Sure. And then we got to be quite cordial when she graduated high school and things like that. And when she had her first baby.
I know. And that's the thing that's why this really, it matters, because, I've counseled our clients and women for years, right? I know, on one hand, a lot of this schedule and everything that is a little more difficult, that ends at 18. However, but you never end being a parent, and there are going to be events, and you guys are going to have to figure out how to not make it all about you when it's your child's event. Because that happens. I've lived that as well, right? And it's like you got to kind of just move on and get over. And I say get over it, but in a lot of ways, that emotional trauma from the divorce, some people are just unable to really get over that. I think that's what prohibits an effective
relationship. Want me to give you my philosophy of why people can't get over stuff?
I do. I totally do.
Because they have accepted it as their identity, and that's what gives them. That's who they are. And it's when you get a divorce, you can recreate your life. When you break up, you can recreate your life. You can think, it's kind of like somebody who has anxiety and calls themselves my anxiety. I have anxiety. Now it's personalized. It's part of them. I am a divorced person. I am a single mother. You're not a single mother if you've got an active parent. You're not a single father if you've got somebody that is a co-parent. You may live alone without a partner, but you still have a help. And when your identity is different than you call yourself, and you can change that. That's, I often tell parents that you can reconstruct your life now and forget, don't call him your ex anymore. Call him your co-parent. Labels are huge. Refer to him as co-parent. And people identify with labels.
Right. And then they live up to that. So then they want to make sure. Oh, and I am the victim. Single parent, I've got to do it all on my own. And hey, so we know that that is true for some women and some men.
I'm not.
Yeah, but
I'm not begrudging anybody that. At
right,
all.
But if you it's a different help. Situation, and I think a lot of times this, my experience can be hard for women, particularly because their identity is so caught up in being the mom and being these things.
Mom,
you've got to release. You've got to release and allow them. For the men, and there are so many who do want to participate. And the courts now, certainly, it took a while to get all the way here in Florida, where that is the way it's going to be. It's going to be more equal than not compared to the way it was in the 70s.
I used to be a child custody mediator, and people would say that the court was pro-women, pro-men, pro-all men. And I would tell them, look, when I help, because we were a recommending county, I don't know if you have that in Florida, where there's a recommending mediator who goes through the process and then recommends the custody agreement to the judge. The judge then analyzes what the mediator suggests and either agrees or disagrees. So I was a recommending mediator, and it was completely, what I would do is listen to where the parents lived, how far away they lived from their child's school, what their work schedule was. If it was going to take them an hour and a half to get them to school, you can't have joint physical custody. You've got, so these are the real realities of it. If you really want to have a equal custody, you got to live close to your kid. You can't live an hour away and expect to drive them to school. So, those are the real practical things you got to take into consideration when you're establishing a parenting plan.
So true. It's putting the focus on how do we make this best for our kids. That sometimes, gets lost. I do want to ask you this, because you talked about at the beginning of, your second marriage, and you and his ex-wife maybe didn't get along, but then you've also written, she asked you once, like, why does he hate her so much? And how did you work through that?
Yeah. Did you read that in that?
I did.
That was really eye-opening, because I didn't talk to her for the first 6 months that we were married, and they couldn't stand each other. So she called one morning to ask something about the kids, and he couldn't stand it. I'm walking through the through the office, and he hands me the phone and says, "You just talked to her." I can't. And he leaves the room and goes outside, closes the door, and I'm standing there holding the phone going, "What?" And I pick up the phone and I'm thinking she's going to scream at me because I'm the new wife. Okay. Right. And she just goes, Jan, why does he hate me so much? And I go, my gosh, this is a real life person.
Yeah.
You know, and I explained to her that, you know, whatever that it was. And she goes, interesting. That's his take. Okay, I'll accept that. And she was very reasonable. Wow. And the next time she called to ask for me because we just spoke to each other. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of built from there. And then the thing that's really important that it would be great for your listeners to understand is as I got along better with her, he got along better with her.
Yeah.
There was nobody to stir the pot.
And that's really important. And I think, like you said, knowing better, being confident in your relationship, right? Having a trust. I'll hear that often. There's just a lack of trust. And maybe that's rightfully so. And, you know, especially when there's been infidelity with the new person. And then, you know, that's tough times.
We didn't have that problem.
Which is good because that adds a whole nother layer.
Yeah.
And I think it can be very, it is challenging, but I would think probably worth it if you can get there because there's just so much interaction and communication. If it's filled with this hate or, you know, disagreement, right. It's just going to be difficult, right? Yeah.
Not only that, when you act like that, you're putting your kids right in the middle. Then they have to do this full allegiance to betray thing. When they go to mom's house, am I betraying dad? Am I going to dad's house? Am I betraying mom? If I like my bonus mom, does that mean that I'm betraying my mother? So there's all sorts of things that you're putting your children through just because of your own insecurities and anger and frustrations. And that's why I tell people not to move on because that's kind of condescending, but it's time to move forward. Become the person you want to be now. Because I don't know about you, but when you break up, you don't put your best foot forward. Who wants to be that person? You know, you're icky.
Right. Yeah.
And nobody does.
So let's talk about good ex etiquette.
I love that. I write a column, for Tribune content that's syndicated that's called Ex Etiquette. And it runs in a zillion newspapers. And it's just Dear Abby for exes.
That's great. Needed, I know.
I've been writing it for a long, long time.
So tell us a little bit about that, because I think we all, you know, everybody could learn from that for sure.
Ex etiquette is technically good behavior after divorce or separation. And I established, 10 rules of good ex etiquette. And it's just a guide to be able to guide you through dealing with your ex and other people's exes, because it may not be your ex, but it could be your mother's ex. It could be your sister's ex. It could be your best friend's ex. It could be everybody has extended family, your cousin's ex, you know, so it's just basic rules. And when I went through and made them up, I looked at them and they're basically the Ten Commandments, if you want to know the truth. And I didn't do it on purpose, but if you look at them in the Ten Commandments, God is the center. In the 10 Rules of Good Ex Etiquette, children are the center. And it's just the same thing. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Don't badmouth your spouse, your ex, your co-parent. You know, that's basically honor thy father and mother. Parents make the rules. Bonus parents subhold them. If you go through it, and I promise that I did not think of it like that. But spite, hold grudges, you know, all those things. It's just, and it goes through and it applies them. And in the column, what I do is I apply the 10 rules. And number one is put your children first. And what does that mean and how do you do it?
Now there is also, you have an abbreviated version, CARE.
Yeah, I do.
So will you explain that briefly for our listeners?
Well, the 10 rules it's 10 rules. And CARE is basically the same thing, only it's communication, acceptance, respect, and empathy. So when you're in a conflict with somebody or when you're trying to problem solve, do your best to communicate properly. And it talks in the book about what good communication, how you can switch it over to, and it even talks about scripts and language because that has a lot to do with good communication.
Right.
The big thing that I talked about previously was acceptance, that on all sorts of different levels is listening to somebody.
Yeah.
Accepting who they are. Don't try to change them. You can't. Any person who's divorced will tell you, or broken up, because nobody gets married anymore. You know that. But the custody issues are the same.
They are.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if you've been married or not. Because people used to ask me, that was one of the reasons why I did come up with bonuses, because I did the 10 rules of good ex etiquette, and people would write me and say, we've never been married. Do these rules still apply to us as well? And since the children are the center, then absolutely yeah. they do. Doesn't right. matter. Ex etiquette is just a good fall word. You know, like when somebody says, should I do this? I'll go, oh, bad ex etiquette.
Yeah. Well, and it's good, right, to have those things written down in a guide. Because now, how about this? You know, and what you're saying, putting the children first. But, you know, what if, have you heard from people, I'm sure, oh, my child is so young. He doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, of course. You know that. Of course. And the thing is that even children, babies, can feel, they feel their mother's stress and tension. And mm-hmm. you know that when you walk into a room, I say this in the book, that when you walk into a room, you first think, okay, what's going on? You know, if somebody's been fighting or arguing. You can
right.
tell.
You feel it.
So if you think your child's too young to be able to figure it out, of course they aren't. And bad mouthing is really easy. That's an important thing, because you'd think you don't bad mouth. Most parents say, I never talk badly about their father or mother in front of the children. Mm-hmm. But one of the children that I was working with came to my class and said, how come my daddy calls my mommy a Karen? Mm. What does that mean? And I went, oh, does daddy know that he calls her a Karen? So I had to sit down and tell, daddy, do you badmouth? I never badmouth. You call her a Karen in front of your daughter or your son? Oh, my. I'll give you another story about badmouthing real quick. I tell this story all the time because it was, for me, so profound. I was driving in the car with my grandson, and we were talking about my daughter and his dad, and they're married. And they have vastly different approaches to personality. My daughter's very gregarious. He's very shy. And I said that to my grandson. He was sitting in the back seat. And I said, yeah, mommy and I joke around, but daddy's really shy. My grandson started to cry. He didn't know exactly what shy meant. Wow. So he thought I was saying something bad. So you have to really talk to know your audience.
Yeah.
And so I had to explain to him what shy was, call up his mother and say, oops. You're going to have to, you know, so bad mouthing and all that whole of not talking mean in front of the child about the other parent is all relative. You know, really, you have to read the room.
Now, hey, you also talk about, like, you know, setting the stage to co-parent well, you have to really create a new, completely different relationship with one another. How do people do that? Because I'm sure they're like, how do I start to do that, Dr. Jan? I don't know.
You know, really good question, because I say that in the book and then people ask me, well, how do I do that? Well, first of all, you have to love your kids more than you hate your ex. And that means let it go. And not let it go in the sense that I'm trying to diminish the importance of the breakup, because there's a reason why. But you have to reestablish. A lot of times we don't like somebody because of their label. We talked about it. And you have to reestablish a different kind of communication. And that means you only talk about the children. What else do you have to talk about? When I do co-parenting and the parents are still arguing years about what happened during the breakup, I'm going, you guys, I mean, I understand this, but this isn't the time.
Yeah.
How are you going to heal that? Mm-hmm. You're not even the same people. And that's one of the things that I point out. You said, how do you do that? Most of the time has passed. And we all change. We all hopefully get to be better people. We all hopefully stand back and look at my part in this.
Mm-hmm.
You never want. And I ask people, do you want to be the same? Are you the same person you were 2 years ago? Oh. No. Well, then why do you think you're... X is, you know, you got to let them change. You got to let them get better just like you got better. Mm-hmm. And you do it for your child, not because of any other reason that your child goes back and forth between the two of you. And if you really want to make your kid sick, keep it up.
Yeah, right, for sure. Well, and that's just, you know, a whole shift in mindset that but has to be explained. People have to hear that. Like, you're going to have to, for the benefit of your child, allow yourself to see them differently as they change and hopefully grow.
If it makes you feel better to point fingers and sit in that anger and frustration, and the thing is, when you're like that, that's because you are a right fighter. You know you were right, he or she was wrong, and you're going to sit in your rightness.
Yeah.
How does that help your kid? How does that help you grow?
Right.
You know, okay, so you're right. You know, he cheated on you. He's a bad person.
Right.
You know, okay, how does that help your child? Because once you have kids, we all know it's about them. It's not about you anymore.
I mean, yeah.
It's once they get to be older and they can be on their own, then you can start recreating yourself again. I mean, that's what I did.
Exactly.
You know, my kids are old.
Okay, let's talk about this because I think this is really important. It's texting communication.
I'm glad
I think that's important.
Yes, I'm not in favor of it.
Yeah.
And as a divorce attorney, you probably, as soon as people start saying, oh, and he did this and she did that, and they put this down, they call me terrible names. The first thing the courts do is, okay, get on the app. You got to have an app.
Oh, I know.
So we can regulate it. And now they aren't, how can you co-parent by texting? You can't. I mean, our child needs braces. Our child's in emergency. Our child, you know, it wants to go to college. How do you discuss these in text? You know,
yeah.
You can't. Because first of all, texts are very short. They're great. I'm going to be 15 minutes late to the exchange. That's mm-hmm. perfect. But, you know, how are you going to be able to talk about how your child's feeling and what you know about your kids? And are you going to be at the practice because I'm going to bring my new partner? And let's talk about this first before I just show up with this person. You know, that kind of thing, it needs to be discussed.
Yeah.
And people don't want to talk to their exes. So they text, and then they aren't very effective.
But I also, okay, I do think that our society in general mm-hmm. prefers to text. And that's the first go-to, because they don't want to engage. And you don't want to have a conversation. You don't want to hear how they might receive you or be rejected, or I'm sure, you know, you're the doctor, all kind of reasons.
I call it shotgun communication.
Yeah, and it's difficult.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, when you get in a fight with somebody and you say what you yell, scream, and then you leave and slam the door.
Yeah.
That's shotgun communication. You're not giving them a chance to respond.
Mm-hmm.
Text is exactly like that. And you need, one of the things that I learned from my own children in communication is when somebody says something to you and you say, no, that didn't happen that way,
mm-hmm.
or you're lying, you've just diminished everything they've said. You can't do that. That's how you text. That's BS. You know,
mm-hmm.
but you don't engage with each other. You don't say, geez, I'm curious why you see it that way. That's communication. And now they feel heard. And then you know, it's a whole process that you can't do on texting. Texting is notification.
Yeah. And you know, I've said this in the past, right? Especially as we move towards more of equal time sharing, that in of itself really requires more communication, good communication between the parents. And often they've divorced because they really aren't good at communicating with one another. And, you know, we go through this whole process and, you know, from the attorneys, we're done. And now you've got to go figure all this out. And for many people, it really is a struggle on, are they willing to put forth the work to make
that's
this
why they
happen.
Come see the court sends them to me. They'll do is they'll say, co-parenting is how you live the parenting plan. That's what
right.
it is. The courts can give you, you know, a 2-2-5-5 or a week on week off, or you know, they can give you or which I hate 2-2-3s, but
they love that just for the little kids. Yeah. They love it
for little kids. Yeah,
for
but once they
kids.
Can tell time. Or once they know the days, and then they get really confused, and you get a lot of, am I going to be at daddy's today, or am I going to be at mommy's? But when
mm-hmm.
you have a 2-2-5 when they're in school, now the teachers know where they're going to be. They know
yeah.
that they're daddy's on Thursday. That kind of thing makes it a little bit easier. But they've got to be older. When they can't tell time and they don't really get it, 2-2-3s are great. Anyway, I'm sorry.
I drew you off. I drew you off. We were talking about just, you know, when they have to come see you and how that works. So, I mean, what is your main work? You're working with, you know, divorce folks on how to make this work for your children.
That's exactly. When people go to court, when parents go to court and the court can't litigate what they're arguing about, they're arguing about parenting. Mm-hmm. That's when they send them to me.
Right.
You know, and I always tell them, you know why you're coming here? You know why the court said you had to go? It's because you can't live the parenting plan without arguing. So my job is to help you learn how to live the parenting plan without arguing. And one of the main things I talk to them about is the language that they use and coming to the table with a solution when you have a problem. You know, just drop a problem in somebody's lap and say, what's the answer? You know the answer. You come to the table and say, this is the problem, and I think that if we do this, this will be an answer to the problem. And then you negotiate. Well, I agree on this point, but I don't agree here. Okay, well, let's talk about it. How can we compromise? That's a negotiation. That's how co-parents talk to each other, if you're going to successfully co-parent.
What does it take for people to be successful with what you're helping them learn?
First of all, I help them to see that their ex is no longer their ex, but I make them call them their co-parent or my child's mother or father.
Okay.
If we're in session and they say my ex, I stop them and say, no, that is your child's mother or father. That gives them a step up in respect right there.
Okay.
Then we talk about respecting, because all that is the understanding that their point of view is equally as important as yours. So let's compare notes. Why do you feel the way you do? Not you, SOB.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm curious why you're saying that. Curiosity is your best communication tool. Because once you understand it, then you can choose to say no or yes. Because what you'll see with co-parents in the beginning is they automatically say no. They hate each other. They don't want to deal with each other. So there is no negotiation. Everything is no, because I don't want to deal with you. So I teach them to learn how to be comfortable asking for help and understanding that that's how you build trust. I'll tell you a really important story that I open up the chapter on teams about. I don't know if you read it, but it was actually something that I call her my counter partner, which is my husband's ex-wife.
Okay,
the children's mother. I always call my bonus kid's mom or my counter partner if you're personalizing it. She needed help. And we had gotten to the point where we were, three of us were a team. Okay. We, of course, didn't live together. She lived at her house, and the two kids lived with her every other week. And every other week, her two kids lived with me and my daughter and our combined child.
Okay.
There were times when she worked that she could not get to the her week because she's stuck in traffic. And they're sitting down at school after school sports. And I lived a mile from school. So one of the first things she had to learn to do is to call me up and say, would you mind getting them for me? Mm-hmm. And that, when you don't like each other, is very, very tough.
Right.
We got to the point where that was no big deal at all. I'm stuck in traffic. Okay, I'll go get them. And then he just sat at my house until she got home. Mm-hmm. But her comment was, Jan, how do people do this without three parents? And I started laughing, but it's so true. That's what I meant by it takes a village. You have to be able to reach out to either your co-parent or your co-parent's partner. You guys are all in this together. You know, your kids did not ask for this breakup. And it's your job to make the transition seamless as possible. And a lot of people will laugh at me and say, that is ridiculous. How can exes get along? And I say, well, if you love your kids, you better do it. Because otherwise, you're not going to be sending them to college. You're going to be sending them to counseling. Hold the money. Because it's going to be years of therapy.
Right. And, you know, I think there's, you know, just what you said, and that one, respect, that's how it's got to start. And then realizing that you're not on opposing sides. I think that is probably a challenge for a lot of people. It's like, it's not my time versus your time. It's not, you know, me versus you. Like that's a challenge, don't you think?
Well, I always tell people it's not your time. It's not his time or her time. It's your child's time. They're only one person. And all of this is philosophy. That's what I'm talking about. It's education. So when you talk to your child, it's your time with mom. It's your time with dad. Uh-huh. It's my child's time with me. My child's time with their mother or father. All these mindsets are different than what, because we get very possessive. That's my kid. It's my time.
Right. And that is certainly, we see that in the litigation a lot, right? When you're trying to work things out, this is mine, right?
Versus you tell them it's not.
Child.
It's your child's time. They're only one kid. He can only be, or she can only be, in one place at one time.
Right.
And I also tell, fathers are the ones that always tell me they don't have enough time with them. Every so often I get mothers, but most of the time it's fathers. And they say, what can I do to get better, more time? I said, get along with their mother.
Mm.
And I hate her. What do you mean? I said, okay. True co-parents don't necessarily talk about time. If you want to see your child, you call them up and say, you know what, there's a Bills game. I'd really like to take Josh. Do you mind? I'll pick him up. And if they're co-parents, you're making the decision for Josh. Of course you can take him because Josh will love the game. Are you going to bring him home tonight or is he going to spend the night and I'll pick him up tomorrow? That's the conversation. Josh is now very excited. Even though it's mom's week or mom's time, now dad, that's how you see him more often. You get along with mom or you get along with dad and it becomes seamless. And then you can share your child's time. But if you can't get along, you go, I'm listening to the court order. And somebody has more time in the court order.
Yeah. I know. And it's just, I'm so glad you do the work you do because people struggle, right? We're all human beings.
Oh, I know.
We're all flawed. We don't have the right tools and education in how to even maneuver through this. And particularly after a prolonged litigation. Don't always even feel, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, I try to get people to not see it as a war. You know, it's no big deal to get, everybody can fight with their ex. Everybody can. You are not special. But you are special if you put your child first. Your child will be able to stand up and say, you know what my parents did for me? But you're just like everybody else if you fight.
That's great advice, right? You know, you just want to be like the rest of everybody or, you know, just your baseline.
Next book.
Or
I'm gonna
like,
put
right.
that in the next book.
There you go, right? You want to excel and be extraordinary, do something different, get along, forgive.
You know, that's one of the things people often tell me, I can't forgive. You don't know what he's done. And that's why I say recreate a new relationship then.
Yeah.
Because then you take all the pressure off. It's not based on the past. You're not stuck 2 years ago when you guys did this. If you recreate a relationship, it doesn't matter if somebody cheated on you. It doesn't matter if you cheated on somebody else. It matters because you're taking care of your child. Now, granted, a lot of people say, oh, well, of course it matters. I'm talking philosophically, not emotionally and all that. Of course, getting over somebody betraying you is difficult. But that doesn't have anything to do with you. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with your kid.
Right. And I think, you know, that's why you got divorced. So you don't have to live with that person anymore. You know, trust your heart with them anymore. However, you had a baby, you have a child. So, you know, it's the forgiveness is it's worth it. And it's usually more for you than the other person, right? Because you can move on. And it takes so much energy to be angry and mad. And it's exhausting.
Well, see, that's what I was talking about, your identity. It becomes who you are.
Right.
And I don't want to be that person. I know how it makes me feel. I know how anxiety makes me feel and stress.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that. I don't want to teach my children that that's how you act.
Right. And that, I think, you know, at the end of the day, that is just such a, you know, we've talked about putting the children first. And, you know, I think if you ask any parent, they want what's best for their child. So you don't want them to learn this is the right way for people to get along, not get along, right? This isn't what's best for everybody. Teach them better.
The people who can't get along now are stuck in the past.
Yeah.
That's because if you recreate a new relationship and just base it on your children, why would you not get along? I mean, unless somebody keeps doing the bad stuff all the time, which happens.
Right. Yeah. And there may be people like that. But we're just talking about those who really want to do their best and they're having trouble.
And they don't know how.
They don't know how because they just don't know how. Dr. Jan, before we go, what a great conversation. This has been amazing today.
I know, we could do this for a long time. Huh?
I know. But before we go, our show is called Women Winning Divorce. And I would love to know, what does winning at life mean to you?
Peace.
I
peace
love
in,
that.
In my heart, peace in my life, peace in my family, peace for my partner, peace for the world. I mean, I sound like world peace. But I mean, I just know the stresses of what everybody goes through when you're breaking up. And when you can let it down and be who you are, that's what it means.
Well, and that is a win, to have peace. And sometimes, you know, after divorce, you have much more peace in your life. And then hopefully, then your children should, right? So you want to continue that. And
I don't think divorce is a bad thing. How you handle divorce can be good or bad.
Exactly. I agree with you. Well, lastly, Dr. Jan, where can our listeners find you for more information?
My email address is Jan with two N's at bonusfamilies, plural, bonusfamilies.com. They can find me on the website and all my contact information is in the contacts. So please contact me. And if you need co-parenting help, I'm here.
Well, I know many of our listeners do, and we appreciate you. We have reached the end of our show today. Thank you so much, Dr. Jan Blackstone, for joining us.
My pleasure. It was wonderful meeting you.
But it was wonderful to meet you. I really enjoyed our conversation about, you know, building strong bonus families, co-parenting strategies, and really effective communication after separation. That was wonderful. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Listeners, if you or someone you know in the Northeast Florida area is going through or even thinking about divorce, you're not alone. Taking that first step can feel overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. Our newsletter is filled with actionable advice tailored to guide you through this process. By signing up, you'll gain the tools to face the unknown with courage and see if we're the right fit to support you during this life-changing time. Don't wait. Click the link in the show notes, fill out the form, and take the first step toward building a brighter future today.